We're going to start reading at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, first verse. And if somebody can read first 12 verses, and then I want somebody to read verse 13 through 17.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by the letter as from us, as that day the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except that there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, shew himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs, lying wonders, and with deceivable of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believeth not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you and we bless your name to know that you are God all by yourself. And besides you, there is none other. We thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word, oh God, that's better than even our life itself. We thank you, oh God, to know, Lord, that your word, Lord, will not return unto you void. You said heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word will stand forever. So God, go with us, be with us, cover us, keep us. God, just open up our hearts to what you have to say on tonight. Even search our hearts to what you have to say, oh God. And as this word examines, oh God, that it's the mirror that it is to continue to show us that we may be replaced through sanctification and through self-denial, oh God, that, Lord, we will be just continue to allow your manifest glory to work itself through us, oh God. Lord, that people will see Christ and your light demonstrated in us. God, Lord, we thank you, oh God, because we know the fields are white already. God, we're living in it's darker than it's ever been. So God, we thank you and we bless you and we praise you, oh God. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' name and for sake we pray. Let everybody say amen. Thank God, because, and just like we said in a prayer, y'all, we're living in a dark time. We are living in a dark time, and it's darker now in this world than it's ever been. Stuff's going on more now than it's ever happened before. And that's why we can always continue to go back to Romans 13. Romans 13, that we've been dealing with it. We've been teaching it. We've been preaching it, right? And it says how salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And there's another verse, I believe, in Peter that deals with the darkness and the dark time that we're living in. We are living in a dark place, even in this country, even in this world. And y'all know what? And even through this, I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged to know that the darker it is, the greater the light shines. And that's us. Not only are we the salt of the earth, but guess what? We are the light. We are the light of the earth. And you know, we're living in a time where, you know, people would just drown out themselves from everything that's going on. People would drown out themselves with the pleasures and just the lust of their and their hobbies and not going to church and just different things to drown out yourself with. But I'm telling y'all something, coming through this coronavirus, how in the world can we come through this coronavirus? Commercials are getting worse with two men in commercials, two women in commercials, but everything has to have an element of I'm just going to call it what it is, of homosexuality or homosexual lifestyle. They're going to sprinkle just a little bit of this LGBTQ, amen? They're going to sprinkle a little bit of this in everything. You can't even do a movie without having to sprinkle it in. But we have to continue to train our children. We have to continue to train them up in the way they should go, that when they are old, they will not depart, because it's the enemy is bold. And here in this Second Thessalonians, right, really dealing with the Antichrist, and it's dealing with the delusion that we're facing even right now. And when he says in the first verse, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. And y'all, and you know, when we talk about the spirit of homosexuality and all that, they do it behind comedy, right? They do it behind comedy. And they do it behind innocence, right? To say it, they just innocently put it in, or they put it in fast, right? Or through trickery, or through deceit. They put it in there, and now, right, what the world wants to do is says, what's wrong with you? This is the world. This is us, right? And so they try to make us feel like we are, something's wrong with us. Because we don't accept it, we have to be sure in who we are. No, you are not crazy. You're not crazy, right? We have to be sure in who we are, because the world wants it to make it look like something is wrong with us. Nothing, ain't nothing wrong with us. Amen? And that's why it takes the word of God. You can't say, well, I'm going to stand and not be in the word. You can't say that, man, I'm going to let my light shine and I'm going to be a witness on this job and not be in the word. We've got to be in the word. And that's the spirit of delusion. Amen. That's the spirit of delusion. And even the Bible says, even the very elect will be deceived in the end time. Right? So when it says here, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. And then it says, let no man deceive you by any means, that that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, and the son of perdition. Right? And so what it's saying is here, is you know, because, and actually we even talked about this on Saturday, where there were those who were ignorant, when it says, be not ignorant of the coming of the Lord. Don't be deceived, because there were those, when it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning those which are asleep, that you sorrow not as even others who have no hope. So there was a, man, there was a lot of delusion. There was a lot of error in this church. There was a lot of misconceptions in this church. And so Paul let them know, don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant, because there were those quitting their jobs. Well, we just waiting on the return of Jesus Christ. And then there were those who were worried, who were constantly grieving, thinking that their loved ones that had died, right, would miss the rapture. And Paul had to straighten them out with the truth of the word of God. And here in chapter 2, the same thing is going on. He says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there be a come a great falling away. Which, however, in 2022, which is where we are now, we're starting to see, not starting, we are seeing the end. Amen. We dealt with Matthew chapter 24 last night in prayer, right? That it talked about pestilence. It talked about wars and rumors of wars. Pestilence, I believe that's related to this coronavirus. And y'all know something? When we talk about this in the end times, right? Like, it's almost like coronavirus is forgotten about. Y'all notice that? We've forgotten what life was like before corona. Y'all remember what life was like before corona? Right?
Yeah.
Right? But it's almost like, and that's going to be the rapture, right? It's almost like it's not, we forget how many thousands upon thousands of people lost their lives in this coronavirus. Mm-hmm. In this coronavirus, we've seen something, we've witnessed something that has not been in hundreds of years. That's not normal. This is not normal. Even the Spanish flu, whatever, the people and the lives that were lost coming through this coronavirus, we've never seen anything like it. Amen? So when the Bible talks about pestilence, earthquakes, wars, and rumors of wars, listen, y'all, we are living in the last days. Amen? It's here. And it says, and that day shall not come except there be a great falling away. We're living in a falling away. And the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, and that's the spirit of the Antichrist. And this is what he does. He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, and he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Amen? And that's the goal of the Antichrist and the false prophet and of Satan. And that's what Daniel talked about, the abomination of desolation. That's also mentioned in Daniel 9:27. Let's turn there real quick. It says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week, and that 1 week is referring to 7 years, but in the midst of the week, it's speaking to 3.5 years in the middle of the week, right? And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of the abominations, and he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon desolate. Amen? And let's also look at why you got your finger in Daniel. Let's look at Daniel 11:31. And that's talking about the treaty that the Antichrist is going to come, right? And he's going to make a declaration. He's going to make a treaty with Israel. Daniel 11:31 says this, "For the arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate." Amen. And so basically, after 7 years, after the first 3.5 years, the temple will go on, the sacrifices will go on, as we've read about them in the Old Testament, where they sacrifice animals and things unto the Lord. But there's going to be an abomination, a pig or some sort of gross sacrifice, right? That's going to be offered up in the temple. And guess what? The Antichrist, whether it's the false prophet, will sit in the seat, will desire to sit in the place of God on the throne, and will desire and worship, to be worshiped. And at that point, right, that's when all you know what is going to break loose. The last 3.5 years we talked about in Revelation is going to be utter chaos. And he's going to turn on the people, and there's going to be great wrath and destruction in the world. Amen. But how many know, thank God, we won't be here. We won't be here. The church will have already been raptured up. Amen. So we thank God. And when you look at these statues, and we, there's a statue of Baphomet. There's a statue called Baphomet. It's a man with horns of a goat. He's got some kind of staff and satanic pentagraph symbols, right? On him, and he will have a child standing next to him, right? And these are signs of the times, the spirit, the satanic spirit that's already here. And that's what we have to contend with. When I seen this NBA basketball player, the other day he was getting interviewed, and he had his hand like this, right? He had a big old symbol, big old circle, a satanic pentagram on his hand with a hexagram and all kind of symbols on his hand. And I'm telling you, listen, we talk about the end times, right? Listen. More and more we're seeing the symbolism of the things that come right out of Egypt. Just like the magicians that opposed Pharaoh. I'm sorry, that opposed Moses, right? Janice and Jambres, they opposed Moses because of their witchcraft and their satanic idolatry. And I said one of these days we're going to do a Bible study. We haven't done it yet. But even these every plague of the Ten Commandments that God sent against Pharaoh was to belittle the little g God, right? That God wanted to bring to naught. And so many people, I'm seeing it more and more, people having stuff, symbolism, tattooed on their bodies, necklaces, wearing different medallions, third eye stuff, wearing upside down crosses, different things, acts, different things that are just not of the Lord. And a lot of these things, if we're not careful, these things come right out of Egypt. Amen. And just to give you a little background on these things, but when we talk about the 10 plagues, right, they were worshiping other gods, and that's what we've gone back into, right? The 10 plagues of when you look at the water, when you look at the lice and the frogs and all those things, they were small g gods. Let me go back. There were small g gods that they used in that time. And so when you look at the sun. There was a plague that had the land to be dark for 3 days. The sun didn't shine. That was against the god of Ra, the Ra god. There was a plague. There was a god named Hapi, H-A-P-I, an Egyptian god of the Nile. And what Moses did, he held out his rod and God turned the water into blood. And that was to belittle or to bring down that little G god called Hapi, H-A-P-I. There was a little G god called Heket, H-E-K-E-T, Heket. That's the Egyptian goddess of fertility, right? And so what God did was he had Moses hold out his rod and there came a plague of the frogs coming from the Nile River. So that means the god of fertility could not control these frogs that came out of nowhere. Then there was a plague. There was a plague of the lice from the dust of the earth, right? And that god, that little G god was called Geb, J-E-B, Egyptian god of the earth, right? And the lice that came from the dust of the earth. The next plague that Moses did was the swarm of the flies. The swarm of the flies, right? That little G god was called Kherpi, K-H-E-P-R-I. And that was a little G god, right, that protected god of creation and movement of the sun. And that, guess what? Them flies came in and devoured the land. Not only that, but there was a little G god called Hathor, H-A-T-H-O-R. Egyptian goddess of love and protection. And the plague that came upon was the death of the cattle and the livestock. And then there was a god called Isis. I wonder what that name came from. I-S-I-S. That was the Egyptian goddess of medicine and peace. And the Egyptian plague that came on the god against medicine, they had a god for medicine and healing, right, called Isis. And guess what God did? He turned boils and sores on the people. Wow. And then there was a little G god called Nut, N-U-T, Egyptian goddess of the sky. The hail rained down in the form of fire. Because y'all know every plague that came, he had these magicians and these soothsayers pray to these gods. And these gods could do nothing. Right? And then there was a god called Seth, the Egyptian god of storms and disorder. And the Egyptian plague that came on them, storms and disorder, was locusts sent from the sky. Right? And then there was the Ra, the sun god. And the Egyptian plague over that was complete darkness. They could pray to that sun god, a Ra. And then the ultimate plague, right, was the Egyptian plague of Pharaoh. Pharaoh was meant, he was the ultimate power of Egypt. They prayed to Pharaoh. And he also had the power, supposedly, to give life. And guess what plague? God took him out. God sent the plague of death. I had that information. And anybody want to read about those plagues and those little G gods? Guess what? Read Exodus chapter 7, 8, and 9, and that's where you will find them. Right? So we see the intensity of spiritual wickedness. We see the intensity of a lot of this symbolism and things being turned up, even in with the tattoos and everything. Just being turned up in our world today. And we see the power of Satan and the spirit of the Antichrist is behind it. So we're going to go on. That was just a little station break. But who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God to be worshipped. That's his ultimate, that's his end game. Listen, Satan himself knows he does not have long left, right? So his ultimate end game is to sit in the temple and be worshipped universally. That's what he wants. He wants universal worship and for everybody to bow down to him. That's where the spirit of the Antichrist is going. The Bible goes on to say, remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you about these things. And that's why we're preaching this. That's why we're teaching this, right? And not only that, but the Bible says, for the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And that's the church. That's the Holy Spirit that's in us. And that's why, y'all, everybody on here, we are charged to be light, compelling darkness on our jobs. That's our charge. Amen. Listen, not just to be a light. That's right. Thank God. Be an example. Amen. That's what we ought to do. And that's what our lives ought to be a witness that it's compelling people to come to Christ. When it talks about in Colossians chapter 1, right? God who had delivered us from the power, chapter 1, verse 13 says this. It says, listen, verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Y'all see that? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1, mm-hmm. verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father. Right? That means he's made us meet that we, listen, that we, he's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light. That means the light that we possess is not a light that we can find in this world, but we're inheritance of it. It's the light and the life of Christ that lives in us. And this is what he says. He says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. That although our bodies are here, we don't live here, right? We set our affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Guess what, y'all? We are dead. And Christ's life now lives through us. That's why we die daily. Amen? And whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen? So people ought to see a distinction or a difference about us. They ought to see a difference about us, right? That they will know that, man, listen, there's something about that brother, there's something about that sister that, even, listen, and I'm not talking about being standoffish. I'm not talking about just trying to speak Christianese to people. Or act like we, you know, we come to work with this religious lingo, right? Right? No, be who you are in Christ. Be who you are in Christ. And I told a story about how me and Caleb went to the Sixers game and we sat next to two brothers that were older and they were drinking their beer and stuff, and we didn't get appalled and get up and move because a couple of them said a curse word. No, we didn't do that, right? But by the end of the night, the cursing was less because we had conversations with them. They're talking about Dr. J and talking about Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and that. And I had a conversation with the brother, right? But by the end of the night, they reduced the curse words around me and my son. Mm-hmm. Not because I said something to them, but because they were opposed and compelled by the light. Listen. The light, don't get me wrong, sometimes the light of Christ in you light will drive some people. But most of the time, the light of Christ ought to draw somebody to him. Mm-hmm. Amen? The light of Christ ought to draw somebody that even when they, by the end of the night, they change what their conversation was about. They change. Amen? And that's what we ought to be. And I guess what? I don't drive nobody away at work. Some people on their job, well, they see you coming. They, I don't want to sit with them. No. We ought to befriend people. Befriend them. Hey, man. Don't drive them away. You know, they see you coming with your big old Baptist Bible, right? But it's welcoming. Man, the love of Christ welcomes you. Talk to you. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Man, I love the life. I don't want to be nobody else. Do you love the life that Christ has in you? Man, I love the life of Christ in me. Amen. Mm-hmm. We have no business trying to be like somebody else. We have no business trying to emulate somebody else. You ought to be able to love the life that Christ has given you. I love my life. And guess what? My very countenance ought to show that on my job. Amen. Or you just going in. Amen. People ought to see something through our countenance. They ought to see Christ. Amen. And so when we go on here, let's keep going because I want to get to something. It says, so that's the light of Christ. It says, know that he that withholdeth will hold. That means the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. The Antichrist is here. Amen. He's here. But guess what? But only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That's the church. That's the Holy Ghost in all of us. God has you in that job for a reason. He has you in that school for a reason. He has you working in that nursing home for a reason, or driving that bus for a reason, or cooking the chicken for a reason, or in your home with your children, or working the pantry for a reason, that the Holy Ghost has manifested light in us, may continue to hold back the powers of the devil. Amen. That his presence will continue to reign through the earth. Right? And then it says, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Right? And that spirit of his mouth is with the breath of his mouth, and he shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Verse 10, I'm back in the text, right? Mm-hmm. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 says, mm-hmm. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish because they receive not the love, they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So basically what it's saying is they reject the truth. They reject the truth. And rejection starts off with God speaking, saying, Jesus, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And people can say, no, thank you. And then the next time that voice says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, no, thank you. And then that voice gets, I'm not talking about just in one night, but over a period of time, people that continue to reject. That's why our lives can't be a question mark. Our lives must be a distinction that they know Christ lives in us. And guess what, y'all? We ought to be able to know how to lead somebody to Christ, yes. But that's the primary thing, is being able to live somebody to Christ. Listen, we got to be able to live somebody to Christ. Amen? We got to be able to live somebody to Christ. That means through the very life, right? And if you can live somebody to Christ, then you'll lead them to Christ. Amen. We got to be able to lead them to Christ. Jesus comes into our heart that we might give him away. Not give him away, but we don't have nobody, right? We don't have Christ. But we ought to be able to give this Christ in us away to somebody else. Because guess what, y'all? Everybody is born with a vacuum in them. everybody. They don't know Jesus Christ. They have a vacuum in them. That means there's a desire for fulfillment in everybody we come to contact with if they don't know Christ. There's a desire there. And what they do is, but if they turn their ears away, they reject Christ. And this is what he says. He says, and for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they might believe a lie. And we talk about this falling away, and we talk about this spirit of delusion, and we talk about this rejection. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Two important chapters when we talk about end times and people falling away. I remember the fours. 1 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy 4. Right? And in there is also 2 Timothy 3. But let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter time that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Because y'all remember, it said in 2 Thessalonians, it said, who's coming after the working of Satan. Listen, this is important. Who said, who's coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness. That means false prophets. Everybody's calling themselves an apostle now, right? And guess what? They'll have the ability to do gifts. They'll have the ability to call somebody out. There's somebody here with the blue dress on. They just got a promotion, but the devil is coming. And that person could come up on stage and be like, how did you know? Now you got some bootleg people that somebody told them what happened, but then you have the working of Satan. You have the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying on. And listen, y'all, in the end times, which is where we are. Those, and I read where Satan with all power in the Bible and signs and lying wonders, these things will increase. These false prophets and what they're able to do, like the magicians that Moses faced, because guess what? Those magicians were able to do some tricks. They were able to do some things. They were able to take their sticks and make them into snakes. Mm-hmm. But guess what? Moses' snake ate their snake. And listen, and so when it says here in Timothy, right? That Timothy 4, that the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times, that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That don't mean it's just a Satan cult worship. No, the devil knows you're not going to worship a cult, a man with horns and a red face. He knows that. So what he's going to do, he's going to come into church. He's going to come in the $10 line, the $25 line, the $50 line. Laying hands, they're going to go to Quentin and doing all this stuff to do miracles, more and more miracles. And remember, I'm telling you, you're going to see more miracles happen in these false churches where the false prophets, people call themselves bishops and apostles and all this stuff. Now, I'm not saying that Paul, there are apostles in, but it's according to the word of God. There are going to be more false prophets than anything, and they're going to get their power from Satan, right? And guess what? They're going to be like, man, this dude told me all about myself, everything I said that I'm going through. Listen, the devil's going to be able to perform miracles. And guess what? There's only one way we're going to know the truth. And y'all know what that is? The Bible says, by their fruit. You will know that. You know why? Because in Colossians chapter 2 says this, they'll be able to do all these things, right? They'll be able to have show of wisdom and will worship. Man, people will be able to fast for 30 days straight, right? But guess what? Guess what? They and neglecting the body, not in any honor satisfying the flesh. That means the more they can do, the more miracles can do, the more their house and their home will be a mess. They will have no fruit to show for it. Not only that, but look in Timothy. Let's go back to Timothy. So let's read this. We'll get back. He says, in the latter times, Timothy 4, 1 Timothy 4, Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron, right? Forbidding to marry. You don't have to get married. Commanding to abstain from each. And God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. And this vegan diet is a fad, right? It is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer, right? And then it goes on. Let's skip to when we talk about this end time, right? 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this. This know that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men will be what?
Lovers.
Of their own selves. Mm-hmm. And it's in the church. It's in the church. This one brother had a first gentleman. He didn't have a first lady. It's in the church. Mm-hmm. What about Romans chapter 1, verse 18? What about Proverbs talks about homosexuality is an abomination unto God? Amen? And it says, listen, it says covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, right? Mm-hmm. And that covetous means money lovers. Listen to this. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, right? Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontent. Incontent means without self-control. The brother went up and slapped another brother on the stage. He had no control. You're going to see more of that. Amen? Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. And this is the kicker right here, y'all, right here. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Amen? And here it is. Here it is. Ever learning. Verse 7. And never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They got all this Bible. And you try to talk to them. Oh, yeah, I know. I know what the Bible says. But their lives are in shambles. Amen? Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, the worst thing that there is, right, is for me to leave the church because I want to live my own lifestyle. Because, man, what these preachers is preaching is too hard. That old minister Williams is dealing with death, talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, and all this stuff. Guess what? I want to go somewhere when I can be comfortable, still do my cabaret, still play my number, still be able to not have to take care of my kids. I just play child support and all this stuff. I just want to be comfortable. You better check your salvation. Amen. I've never seen a time where people in the church, been in the church, are rejecting this message of death and brokenness and are departing from the church. Now they got an excuse. Talking about everybody got corona. Amen. And listen, I'm not saying we got to do our due diligence and wear the mask and everything. Amen. But guess what? It's time out, y'all. Man, it's time to come back. It's time to get our children back. It's trying to get our business straight with God. I was just watching the news, walking in before this Bible study, and it showed a bunch of dead people laying in the streets, and the Russian army, they're going in, they're not even having regard to civilians, shooting people in the head. Over 5,000 people have been murdered. A boy 15 years old that showed the book bag in the street, been shot at 20 times, but we got a nerve to say, come to church, Preach over the 45 minutes. Say, don't take all that. It's time out. It's time out, y'all. We've got to be in love with this word of God. The spirit, the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. The spirit of the Antichrist is here. Yeah. Amen. They're ever learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. That means they're never able to deny this flesh, come out from habitual sin or addictions. The homes are a mess or whatever. Chapter 4, we're still in 2 Timothy. He says, I charge you, Community Baptist Church, wherefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their lust shall they heap to them. These are the people right here. They're going to heap. I'm going to find somebody that's going to tell me something good. Tell me something about my money. Tell me something about the man I'm looking for or the woman I'm looking for. Tell me what I want to hear. And they shall turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watching all things endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Amen. Mm-hmm. And let's go back to our text. So when he says in verse 11, for this cause, because you've rejected the word of God. And listen, and if somebody can say, man, that's too much. I don't need all that. We don't need this brokenness. We don't need this message of death. Listen, without death, you have no life. God didn't save us to fix us up. Fix my life. Listen, God saved us to replace us. We've got to be replaced. And if you have a problem with the message of death and broken, you might not be saved. Might not be saved. I desire, we have to have a thirst for the grave to die. That's the only way Christ is going to be seen in Community Baptist Church. And as darkness as it is in this world, guess what, y'all? More than ever, we have to be in position. We've got to be in position. We've got to be in position. Preachers, deacons, Sunday school teachers, leaders, we've got to be in position. God's going to do it. He's going to draw people because this world is so jacked up and so messed up. People know, man, there's a hole in my heart that I can't feel. Even the world knows there's something wrong. Amen. And as God sends them, we have to be in position. We have to be in position in our home. We have to be in position in our vocation. That's where we work. We've got to be in position. Think about where you work. Nurses, teachers, factory workers, work on the back of the trash truck. I don't care. Wherever you work, wherever you go, driving a forklift, whether you work in a lab, whether you work in a hospital, corporation, be in position. Be in position because the light that you have, people are looking for answers. Be in position. Guess what? Because Christ must live through you. So we got to be in position and at home, be in position on the job, wherever that is, and be in position in the church. Amen. Be in position in the church. And that comes, and the first position is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We got a job to do, y'all. And guess what? You can't do it. Neither can I. Christ must live his life through us. Amen? And listen, I'm going to read the rest of this. It says, for this cause shall he send them a strong delusion that believe that they should believe a lie. No more sitting on the fence. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved, for the Lord, because God has from the beginning, listen to this, chosen you to salvation through what? Sanctification of the capital S of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you, by our gospel to the what? Obtaining of the glory of your Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, listen, and I'm challenging everybody on the line, saying what we're going through, we got to stand. Stand fast. That's first thing. Number one, we got to hold the traditions that you have been taught. And y'all know what that tradition is? That's the word of God. Not Grandma Lula May. Not this the way my grandfather did it. Not this the way Aunt Esther did it. But no, the traditions is the word. And don't get me wrong, there are a lot of good traditions. We have some in the church. But it better be founded and based in the word of God. Amen? Traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or epistle. And y'all know what's funny? They did not have the full canonized Bible. The only in Thessalonians. So it was by word or epistle, the letters that Paul had given them. So that's why he didn't say hold fast to the whole word of God, although we can find other words, other verses in here. But for what you had, hold fast to it. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which have loved us, fall in love. Because without a love affair, guess what? You're not going to die. Fall in love, loved us, and have given us what? Everlasting consolation and good hope through what? Grace. Grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Amen. The end. Amen. Amen. Let us look to the Lord. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you and we bless you and we praise you to know that you alone are God all by yourself. And besides you, there is none other. God, we thank you. We are living in a desperate world. But thank you, although the winds and the waves of society and this world is dark, chaos, and chaotic. God, we thank you because, Lord, like ever before, I'm at peace. We are at peace in you to know that, Lord, you've not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So, God, we thank you and we bless you to know that you are a keeper. You are the very lifter of our heads. Oh, God, and we thank you. I'm overwhelmed, complete, and fastened. Girded up by your love. Help us all to fall, just continue to get deeper, lost in this word of God, that we will continue to fall in love, that you will continue to break our hearts, that we will die to ourselves, that your manifested glory will continue to live its life in us and through us. God, we thank you because we have this treasure in earthen vessel. And it goes on to say that, Lord, that were troubled on every side, but not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As death works in us, God, we pray supernaturally, oh God, that your life continues to work through and in us, that this dark and decadent world will see Christ. We love them, oh God, that they will be drawn to you. You said, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. We are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the purpose of good works. You said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are made new. We thank you, oh God. We bless you, oh God. We lift you up. God, we love you, oh God. We pray for Holy Week. Oh, God, we pray for the churches and the preachers and the pastors involved. God, Lord, your word will go forth. Not us. Not what we think. Not what we feel. But that your word will go forth with power and unction that somebody might get saved. God, we love you and we bless you and we praise you. For it's in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen.